John Calvin said regarding this verse that this is a lesson intended not only for pastors as represented by Timothy, but for every Christian congregation. He said we are not to be carried away by the foolishness of those who once fed on the trivialities of men. But if men deride good teaching, he said, if they have had their fill of good teaching and would scatter to the winds, he said, as pastors, we should keep on stressing what is profitable, for it cannot be too often drummed into us that here is the truth of our salvation and the key to all our happiness. He said, yes, there's a word for pastors, but there's a word for the congregation to understand that there must be that sound biblical teaching.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Love is what the Lord hath given.
You've been listening to Love is Like the Golden Sunshine. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton. Delighted to have you with us as we come and consider the subject, the pastoral duty of preaching. Preaching is vital and it is important for you and I to understand what preaching is all about. Let us go to our pulpit today for the pastoral duty of preaching. May the Lord bless His word to your soul.
Charles Hodge was the famous theologian of Princeton University in the 1800s. He was known as a champion of orthodoxy and as a biblical teacher of theology. On the day of his funeral, it is said that the stores in Princeton were closed, and the worship services that marked his funeral were filled to capacity. Afterwards, his coffin proceeded to the cemetery. A great number of people followed behind to bring their respects. There was a man, Professor William Paxton, who brought one of the tributes, and he said, "When due allowance is made for his intellect and his learning, after all, his chief power was in his goodness. Christ enshrined in his heart was the center of his theology in life. The world will write upon his monument great, but we as his students will write upon it good." And when we think of the goodness of Hodge and the goodness of the man of God, it is a goodness that comes from the doctrine of Christ, a goodness that flows from the teaching and application of that teaching that comes from the Word of God into our hearts. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in the verse 6, the apostle is telling Timothy to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. There is a necessity for the ministers and the pastors of the Word of God to be good. Now, when we think of good in regard to worldly terms, good could mean having large congregations. Good could mean having lots of money. Good could mean having number one bestsellers. Good could mean many things. But when we come to the Word of God, and the Word of God and the standards of Christ set our agenda here, when we come to the Word of God, what does good mean? And it means good in the eyes of God. It means godly. It means those who, in the context of this passage, are good ministers because they preach the truth of God, they hold fast to the truth of God, they're not ashamed of that truth, and they seek to set forth the true doctrine of the Savior. And Paul is saying to Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And there is a leaning within Christianity today to only have sermons that encourage the believer, to let the believer leave the congregation, to leave the church service, having some encouragement, feeling better about themselves, rather than sermons that expound the scriptures, that teach hard and difficult doctrines. The foundation to our encouragement from the Word of God, however, is the teaching of Scripture. There must be something to encourage us. There must be teaching and doctrine that lies behind that encouragement. If I was downcast today because my car was in an accident, because it was smashed to pieces, you could come alongside me and say, "Don't worry. Don't worry. Be encouraged." And I would say, "Why? How can I not worry? And how can I be encouraged?" And you respond, don't worry. Just be encouraged. But there's no foundation to that encouragement. You could say, "Don't worry, because the insurance will cover it. Be encouraged that it's not your fault, and someone else's insurance will cover it." The foundation to to the encouragement about that situation is found in the fact that you had insurance. And when we come to the encouragement that we have as the people of God, where is the foundation for that? We're not building upon We're not building upon nothing. We're building upon Christ. And as we study His Word and are taught His Word, we come across those truths and doctrines that encourage our hearts, that lift us up, that enable us to be good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the phraseology of our text this morning. In verse 6, the apostle commences this exhortation to Timothy, all about biblical teaching and about being a good minister through the good teaching of the Word of God. But he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, in remembrance of these warnings, in remembrance of the danger of false doctrine, in remembrance of the truth of God, thou shalt be a good minister. If thou put the brethren, that's the phrase I want you to see, brethren, brothers. And Paul here is reminding Timothy, he's not standing up as some dictator telling men and women how to lead their lives. He's not standing up and saying, you need to do this and do that. He's standing up as the man of God, the minister of Christ, putting them in remembrance, not of some new doctrine, but of the old doctrines of the Word of God. He's standing up, speaking to brothers, speaking to sisters, speaking to the family of God, for that is what the church is. The family of the Lord Jesus Christ, the household of God. And beloved believer, this morning, we are to remember that. That we are, even though we may be different in many ways, we are united and bonded together because of Christ. We are the family of God. And Paul is saying, put the family of God in remembrance of these things. How does a father lead his home? How should a father lead his home? In love, in patience, in grace, in long-suffering. And therefore, as the brethren, the family of God, are to be led and taught, there is to be that same thing. Yes, there will be strong words. Yes, there will be warnings. But there must always be love. And there must always be grace. And again, in this epistle, we are seeing the duty of pastors in teaching the flock of God. And you may say this morning, well, pastor, you're not preaching to pastors today. You're the only pastor here. You're not preaching to me. I'm not a pastor. And I'll never be a pastor. And this verse is really for pastors. And that, if that is your response today, that's another reminder that this epistle is for us all. It is not just for the pastor and not the congregation. This is definitely a text for your consideration, a sermon for your soul, because the vital setting forth of truth regarding the teaching ministry teaches us all the importance of it and the value of it and the centrality of preaching as Scripture teaches, and it also strongly reminds us that we have a duty and a responsibility to place ourselves under the sound doctrine of a sound teaching ministry. Instructing about teaching or teaching about teaching reminds us of the duties of preachers and how we can pray for them. Instructing about teaching teaches us as to what teaching is, how we should desire it, but also discern it. Just because some preacher has a badge of a confession or a denomination or a church doesn't mean he's preaching the way that he ought. Doesn't mean he's holding forth the sound doctrine according to the Word of God. And if we fail to understand what preaching and teaching is, then we will fail to discern whether or not we place ourselves under a good preaching ministry. Teaching about teaching reminds us of the duty that we have to hear sound teaching. We're to place ourselves and our families under the sound teaching of the Word of God. Instruction about teaching reminds us of the duty of inviting souls in under the sound of the Word of God. When was the last time that as a believer you invited people to come into the house of God to hear His Word? Those who are unsaved and outside of the kingdom of God. May that challenge your hearts. I remember many years ago living in Northern Ireland, and we went to a congregation, to another service in a church that was nearby. It was actually the old church that we used to attend 30 years ago. It's the church my brother is a member of at this point in time. And we went to a special service, and people had invited in their families and friends. That church would have held probably about 250 people thereabouts, and they were crammed in like we would say sardines in a can. My friend and myself, we went upstairs to the balcony of the church. There's nowhere to sit. We ended up sitting on the steps going up to the balcony, and another friend realized they could squeeze up a little bit, and we squeezed in. We were almost sitting on each other's knees. It was so tight. Why? Because people in that congregation had invited friends and family in. And this was a regular occurrence, to have the church filled because people were doing that work of evangelism. May that challenge your hearts. This is what we need to be through the Spirit of God, applying the teaching of His Word. Challenged in so many ways. And when we think of John Calvin said regarding this verse that this is a lesson intended not only for pastors as represented by Timothy, but for every Christian congregation. He said we are not to be carried away by the foolishness of those who once fed on the trivialities of men. But if men deride good teaching, he said, if they have had their fill of good teaching and would scatter it to the winds, he said, as pastors, we should keep on stressing what is profitable, for it cannot be too often drummed into us that here is the truth of our salvation and the key to all our happiness. He said, yes, there's a word for pastors, but there's a word for the congregation to understand that there must be that sound biblical teaching. And so this morning, I want us to consider the pastoral duty of teaching. The pastoral duty of teaching. Notice here, firstly, the biblical teaching distinguishes the faith. Biblical teaching distinguishes the faith. In verse 4, we have words there about the need to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Remembrance of false doctrine and the importance of sound doctrine and preaching that sound doctrine itself. And this verse is all about teaching that which is sound. And biblical teaching is something that distinguishes the faith of the gospel and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a vital thing. We observed last time about those who preach and teach false doctrines like the prosperity gospel. We mentioned Joyce Meyer and others, and things that she had said and claimed, things that the Bible does not teach. But when we think of the celebrity Christian culture, pastors and teachers who are celebrities, there are those who will take this false teaching to their hearts because of the status of those who preach it. They'll trample down anyone who says, wait a minute, is that even scriptural? How dare they criticize these servants of God in what they say? And I've experienced that, standing against those who preach a false doctrine. And there are believers in Reformed and confessional churches who are not happy because their favorite celebrity pastor who they listen to has been pointed out as someone who teaches false doctrine. We should be discerning. We should be looking at what these individuals teach and comparing it to the Word of God. And when the rot begins in a church, when false doctrine and questionable practices set in, when the wall of separation comes crashing down and anything is allowed into the church, rest assured, it is because there is a pastor and a leadership who are unprepared to take a stand for the Lord. They don't want division. They don't want splitting the people of God. And pastors who, instead of leading the sheep, are being led by the sheep, and the sheep are flocking right into the den of wolves. John Calvin said, the preachers who seek to do their duty cannot be like trembling reeds and pander to men's fancies. They must do their best to edify. They must find their teaching from the Word of God and preach it as it is. And biblical teaching, the true Word of God, distinguishes our faith. And that is in contrast to what we see in the opening verses of chapter 4, where there are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and all sorts of errors being taught within the church. That does not distinguish the faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel is distinguished by holding firm to the truth of God and preaching it as it is. And this truth is a blessed truth. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul speaks regarding the Word of God, and he says in verse 32, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. And that word build is edify. Biblical teaching distinguishes the faith because biblical teaching builds us up. It builds us up. I was saved at the age of 4. I knew the basics of the gospel. But imagine if I had never grown in my faith, never grown in the knowledge of Christ, never grown in the Word of God, never went to Bible college. We'd have a sermon this morning, never read the Bible. Let's put that in there as well, of course. We'd have a sermon this morning that really says Christ died for sinners. You're a sinner. You need to turn from your sin. And yes, that's the gospel, and we preach that. But that would be basically it in those words. There's no understanding. There's no foundation that is built upon the great truths and the depths of Scripture. The understanding of the Word of God is in an important point, yes. The vital point of salvation, but there's been no growth to expand it and to expound it and to preach the whole counsel of God. We're kept to just this little piece. There has to be a growth. And biblical teaching, the knowledge of Christ, learning about Christ, distinguishes the faith. And dear believer, if you know and love the Lord, your love of Scripture and your love of the truth and your desire for verse 6 to be applied to you, being taught these things, being reminded of these things, being nourished up in these things, should be the desire of your heart. The apostle is reminding Timothy in the church there is to be a continuation in sound doctrine. Men of itching ears, they love to hear some new thing. But the crazy appetites of men are not to be satisfied by the preacher because he's to stay firm to the Word of God. And the apostle says to Timothy, you're to remind the flock of Christ and His gospel. You're to preach those things that are sound doctrine because these truths distinguish and set forth and identify true faith, true faith. Timothy here was taught the Word of God in the home. He was taught by Paul. He's to continue learning. He's to be nourished up in these things in order to be a good minister of Christ. And a good minister of Christ teaches the Word of Christ, teaches the truth of the gospel. And we ought to desire that.
Our Spurgeon devotional today is taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. Christian, here is all thou canst require. To make thee happy, thou wantest something that shall satisfy thee, and is not this enough? If thou canst pour this promise into thy cup, wilt thou not say with David, my cup runneth over, I have more than heart can wish. When this is fulfilled, I am thy God. Art thou not a possessor of all things? Desire is insatiable as death, but he who filleth all in all can fill it. The capacity of our wishes, who can measure? But the immeasurable wealth of God can more than overflow it. I ask thee if thou art not complete when God is thine. Dost thou want anything but God? Is not
his all sufficiency enough to satisfy thee if all else should fail. But thou wantest more than quiet satisfaction. Thou desirest rapturous delight. Come, soul, here is music fit for heaven in this thy portion. For God is the maker of heaven. Not all the music blown from sweet instruments or drawn from living strings can yield such melody as this sweet promise. I will be their God. Here is a deep sea of bliss, a shoreless ocean of delight. Come, be thy spirit in it, swim an age, and thou shalt find no shore. Dive throughout eternity, and thou shalt find no bottom. I will be their God. If this do not make thine eyes sparkle, and thy heart beat high with bliss, then assuredly thy soul is not in a healthy state. But thou wantest more than present delights. Thou cravest something concerning which thou mayest exercise hope. And what more canst thou hope for than the fulfillment of this great promise? I will be their God. This is the masterpiece of all the promises. Its enjoyment makes a heaven below and will make a heaven above. Dwell in the light of thy Lord, and let thy soul be always ravished with his love. Get out the marrow and fatness which this portion yields thee. Live up to thy privileges and rejoice with unspeakable joy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.